Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and we're pausing our Peter series. We're focusing on Christmas here through the end of the year. And today, with this new series, we're starting with a story I want to tell you about some great advice that I've got. Have you ever been in a moment where you realize you're way in over your head and you need some good advice, right? You can all imagine that. One moment that comes to my mind was when I was 14, my first high school dance, and I will show you a picture because I like you guys that much. So there you go. When I came to Maywood in 2011, everyone said I looked like I was 15, but I looked really young when I actually was like 14 or 15. So there's another picture. I look like I'm like 7. So that's 14-year-old Jake. In that picture, I just put in the corsage, like on the girl's wrist and stuff. So before I went to pick this girl up, or had my parents drive me to go pick her up, I think is how that went. So before that, I have a sister who's 3 years older than me. So 14-year-old Jake went to my 17-year-old sister and asked for advice. And that advice has stuck with me. I still follow it because my 17-year-old sister probably knew a lot more about women than I still know, you know, so I still try to follow this good advice that she gave. So her advice was pretty simple that day about when you're on this date, that I should pay attention to her earrings and her shoes and compliment them. That was my sister's advice, which was good advice because I never, ever would have even noticed, like, earrings or shoes, to be honest. But that stuck with me. And it all, you know, not, you know, everybody that went to a high school dance with me, I complimented their earrings or their shoes, or I didn't like their earrings or their shoes. So those are the two scenarios, you know, like, so like, I noticed them. I paid attention because I followed that advice because my sister kind of got it through to me that, like, the girl is going to be thoughtful about all of those pieces to get ready for this date, so you should notice them. That was kind of her push to me. And it was good advice because it was totally off of my radar 100%, right? And probably you're not worried about homecoming dance this, you know, right now in this stage of your life. But I bet there's stuff in your life you wish that you had someone like that you could go to, right? Someone who knows way more than you, who could really give you good advice you never would have come up with on your own, right? And some of us, if we're very giving or if we're just very prideful in our own abilities, which is kind of a weird mesh together, but you might want to aspire to be like my older sister, right? I want to be the person who can help those people who feel overwhelmed. So today we're going to be looking at somebody who's more in my sister's camp, and then we're going to end at the end with just some real basic advice in case you're in more of the 14-year-old first dance sort of mode. If I just need some help getting started. So the person we're going to look at in our story today is coming from Luke chapter 2. And when Jesus came to earth, we've got God who created everything becomes human, becomes this little baby. People can't understand that. And all of Jesus' life, most people miss who Jesus is. The majority of people, even living in Israel during Jesus' 33 years or so here on earth, they miss him. Or even if they see him, they don't understand who he really is and what his purpose is. And that should be scary to us. Like, most people who saw Jesus face to face didn't click who he was. So for us today, like, we should be careful not to be in that camp, right? We want to see him. And there's this guy, Simeon, who, when Jesus is only 8 days old, he has this insight that's greater than most of the people that were with Jesus during his whole life. This insight of who Jesus is, what Jesus' purpose is. So the Bible's going to give us this great kind of two-sentence summary of who is Simeon, and these are words to aspire by. Look how Simeon is described in Luke 2, verse 25. It says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." Those are two great words to have describe you. Righteous means you do right. You do the right actions by other people, by God, even to nature. It's this idea of you do the right thing to everyone you're in your connection with, right? But the devout gets that for the right reason. So Simeon was the type of guy who did the right thing, and he did it because he loved and was devoted to God. That was a source of his action. He wasn't treating someone nice so he could get something out of them, or treating somebody good so he could look good to impress this or that person. It was out of devotion to God. He's doing the right things. Now, everything we're going to talk about today, it's going to be about opening ourselves up to God, but you're not going to get far with God before he pushes you to do something righteous. And your righteousness, if you were downstairs in Sunday school class, your righteousness might have to do with a little bottle of super glue, or it might have to do with some big thing of saying no to some huge temptation or going and talking to somebody when it's going to be really hard. But there's this idea of you're going to wind up having to do righteous things if you spend much time with Jesus. But it says Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? It means Simeon knew there were a lot of problems where he was living at, the people that he was around. They had a lot of problems, but he was waiting for God's Savior to come. So Simeon was the type of person when the world around him had a lot of problems, he was looking to God for answers, looking specifically for God's Savior for answers. And here it says, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He talks about the Holy Spirit a lot. One little thing to point out about how Luke talks about the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. Now, in the book of Acts, he'll start talking about the Holy Spirit being in people. When Jesus came and died for us, he changed how we could relate to God. He took away the barrier between us and God. And so now God wants to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So as great as Simeon is, and we're going to lift him up today, you have more potential than Simeon had. You can have the Holy Spirit inside of you in a way that Simeon could not. So it's not that he's special and we're not. It's that God's grace is here in a way today that is incredibly powerful, that we can open up and have God live inside of us. Okay? But let's talk a little bit more about what Simeon did. So it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Simeon is an old man, as we read through all chapter 2. Some people, as they go through life and they have a significant hope, as they get older and older and older and that hope is not seen or realized, it's easy to become bitter. Bitterness is a real challenge when you have to be patient and hope. So if you're going through something right now and the thing you're hoping for hasn't happened yet, be careful of that. But here it says he has this hope based in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's told him, hey, I'm going to come through for you. If you want to fight off bitterness, it's not just watch happy movies or just think happy thoughts or make yourself smile. If you want to fight off bitterness, you need to get with God about, like, God, what are you promising me? Because God won't let you down. Verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. The whole story we're about to talk about, it happened because Simeon knew God's voice and he did something about it. God might tell you later this week to help somebody that you're driving by. And then you hesitate and you decide to go get some food or do something different, and you might miss what God is trying to do through you. Simeon could have had a lot of excuses about why not to go, but he went. And that's why we have a story about him, right? It says, when the parents, this is talking about Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. For Jews on the eighth day, this boy would be circumcised. So Jesus is at the temple. He's 8 days old. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, so you have this picture of this humble little couple with a brand new baby, a very crowded temple. Simeon walks straight up to them and takes the newborn baby out of Mary's hands, or out of Joseph's hands. It's a pretty bold move, right? Some people are way too quick to throw around, God told me this, or God told me that. Simeon spent his life doing the right thing for the right reason, and now he's confident when God speaks to him. And we want to get to that place. You don't get there in a week. We want to get to that place where when God tells us something, we know it. And we can do it with confidence. Because the way that Simeon's going to approach this, it's going to help all the people around him, even Mary herself, if you read the whole story. So Simeon takes baby Jesus into his arms, 8 days old, little tiny baby, and this is what he has to say about him. He's talking to God. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." What he's saying there, the first line is, he's realizing, this is the most important moment of my life. I can be done after this. A lot of us, when we get to our deathbed, we'll look back on our life with a new set of eyes, and you might say, now I see what the most important moment of my life was. It was when my 19-year-old did this thing and I got mad at them. And a lot of times you'll look back, unfortunately, with some regret. Oh, I wish I would have known that was the last time I was going to have a chance to talk to that person. Or I wish I would have known this or that. You look back because you didn't know. You know, you don't get a message on your phone saying, today is the most important day of your life. You know, like, do it right. You know, like, you don't get those messages except from God, right? Simeon's close enough to know this is the most important moment for me. And he hits the ball out of the park, you know? I'll never forget Alex Gordon in the bottom of the ninth of game one of the World Series, like hitting the home run to tie the game. It's like, that's why you become a professional athlete, is to hit the homer when your team needs you. And that's what Simeon does. He hits this home run when it matters, right? Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Can you imagine holding up a little baby and saying, this is the salvation of God? And salvation, when we use that word, a lot of times we think that means just a ticket to get to heaven. Salvation, the way that word gets used in the Bible, it means whole life, right? It means life the way God intended it. It means physical, spiritual healing. It gets at this idea, yeah, you're going to live forever, but it gets at this idea of being who God intended you to be, full of life. And Simeon's saying, I praise you, God, because here in my hands is your salvation. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is going to live all of his life here on earth, and most people are not going to understand that. That Jesus is God's salvation. It took Simeon 8 days of Jesus being on earth for him to say that. Almost nobody else gets that. Verse 31, "which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." Simeon's saying this wasn't done in a corner. God brought the Jews out of slavery and set them up to show the whole world God's salvation, and the pinnacle of that is in Jesus. Verse 32, "a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I'm going to stop Simeon's story there, even though it does go on further. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. If you're not big on church history or you don't know the Bible very well, just fill you in a little bit. The whole Old Testament, more than half the Bible sitting in your pew right now, it's about God's story to redeem the Jewish people primarily. And in the ancient world, people viewed God as, they didn't come with this expectation of God wants a relationship with me. They felt like, I need to be someone special to even go and talk to God. You know, we have this entitlement here of like, of course God wants a relationship with me. And I'm waiting around to decide if I want to do it now or if I want to live another 10 years wild and then do it. Like, we have this whole weird view of it. But they felt like I have to be something special to get to God. And what Simeon is tearing down here, he's saying Jesus' purpose, this little baby in my hand who is salvation, his purpose is not just for the Jewish people. His purpose is for everybody. And that idea, the disciples themselves, even after they get the Holy Spirit, are pretty confused about. It takes a whole bunch of time for them to figure out, like, oh, this isn't just for Jewish people. This is for everybody. Jesus is only 8 days old, and Simeon already is talking about that because he's connected to the Holy Spirit. The song that Daniel led us in, you know, Isaac Watts is talking about all these great things about give joy to God because of. But I love this line towards the opening. It says, "Let the earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room." Jesus will come a second time, and he'll come as a conquering king. This idea of Jesus will, by just physical authority, dominate. But why did he come the first time? He came the first time to let us choose to have him be king. Because the physical domination, it's still not an internal change. And God wants more than anything, like willing to die to get a a real relationship with you. To have you say, Jesus, I want you, and I want to be like you. I want you to be the king of my heart. Because no physical force can force that. So we have this awesome line here of let each heart prepare him room. If you've never reached out to God before, then today you can make room in your heart by saying, God, I can't live my life right. That takes you off the throne of your own heart. You can make room for him by saying, God, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I need your forgiveness. And that pushes a bunch of guilt out of your heart, and that makes room, right? You can say, God, please come and live inside of me, right? And then you're inviting him in. And that is how we start a journey with Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I've done wrong. Jesus, I need you. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't follow that same pattern as we keep going with Jesus. There's a reality that when you give your heart to Jesus, there's a bunch of rooms with locked doors. There's a bunch of parts of you that you didn't really let go of all your junk. Some of it's locked up and you can't even fix it. You can't even get there. But if you start opening up to Jesus, he'll keep that same process of you open up a door and you say, Jesus, come into this part of my life. Teach me how to be a dad. Jesus, come into this part of my life. Teach me how to handle a bad boss. Jesus, come into this part of my life. Teach me how I should actually treat people with respect at Walmart. I mean, it's just like all these little pieces of yourself, you start giving them over to him. And you clear space. Because with Jesus, you're either growing with Jesus or you're dying with Jesus. You're never standing still and staying the same with Jesus. Because you might stand still, but Jesus is always moving, and he always wants to move you towards perfection. He wants to move you towards perfection because he wants you to be a family member. He wants you to be a part of what he's creating forever. And you need to be perfect to be there. So he's pushing you towards that piece by piece. He never pushes you harder than you can go with his help, but he never stops pushing, right? And so today, if you're here today and you're like, I can't really point to how I'm closer to Jesus today than I was a month ago. Or I don't really do anything different right now than I did a year ago that's better. If you don't have fruit in your life that you can say, I'm closer to Jesus now, I have less fear and more faith. I have less resentments and more grace. If you're not like that, then you're not growing with him. And so today I want to come in and just give you some super practical stuff. And this practical stuff, you can take it or leave it. This is like Jake's best thoughts may not be that good. You know, like, this isn't like Luke chapter 2, okay? But the principle of Simeon is true. Like, Simeon's life mattered, and he saw Jesus for who he was because Simeon put his hope in God. And he waited for God. He made space for God. So I want to give you just some super practical stuff. How do we make space in our lives for God? So the first image here, I actually have two ideas for you from my week this last week. Because one of the issues is, like, maybe in the mornings you get up and you hit your knees and you say a prayer. Or maybe in the mornings you read a little bit of your Bible. Or maybe at night before you go to bed you pray and you do a little journal. And maybe you've been doing the same thing for months and months or years and years. And I'm not telling you to stop doing that stuff. Like, that's some really good foundational things for you. But imagine a relationship that you were in where you never did anything just because you wanted to spend time with the person. You only did the traditional stuff. Imagine a family where the parent only hangs out with the kid at dinner time. But it's never like, oh, I'll come to your football game, or oh, I'll go talk to you, or we'll play blocks on the carpet or something. It's not much of a relationship if it's all just a daily habit, right? It's not that family dinner is bad. It's that we need some more, like, I want you in our relationship, right? So what about your relationship with God? Is there any of that, like, I want you, God, in your life? Sometimes you can't stir that emotion, but you can just start doing the actions and let the emotion catch up. So what are some actions you could do? On Thursday, I don't think Chris even knows this. On Thursday, I got out of a meeting a lot faster than I thought I was going to. I'm driving home. And the reality is I have about 15 or 20 minutes of extra time. And I could have just gotten home earlier. And I had on my mind, like, oh, I could do this project at home, like do this house project, which in reality would have taken me like an hour and a half to get done because I did it this weekend. But I always think I can do more than I can. Chrissy could attest to that. Or I thought, oh, I could do this other thing for the sermon because the sermon wasn't finished yet, even though it was Thursday afternoon. And I had all these different things I could do, but then it clicked for me. Ever since that Ruthless Elimination or Hurry sermon, I've been trying to slow down. And so I parked at this Chinese restaurant, and I walked to a bench, had a Bible with me, and I read one chapter of the Gospel of Mark, which that morning I had read three chapters of the Gospel of Mark. But that one chapter out of Mark, I got way more connection with God. And it's just, and I got to see a sunset. Like it was, in total, it was about 15 minutes. But I just walked to a bench, sat down, read, did some talking to God, and then walked back to my car. But it was, I don't have a lot of like free time. But even if you're super busy, little things come up where you have little bits of time. And to say, the thing I want to do most with this little bit of free time is to connect with God. Like Jesus was all over that. Like he is very gracious. So throughout this week, something will come up and you will have an extra 5 or 10 minutes. And I bet something cool will be happening in nature, and I bet you could find a way to get to some sort of connection with God. So that's thought one. This is not a picture of me, but one other thought, just because it looks dark out there, kind of with that guy. Monday, I woke up and stuff was happening with the kids in the morning, and so I didn't get to have a prayer time that I'd wanted to have. And I had a lot of stuff happening Monday during the day, and it was all of a sudden it was like 10 o'clock at night on Monday, which is super late for me because we have three-year-olds, so 10 o'clock feels like 2 in the morning or something, you know. So it's 10 o'clock at night. Chrissy's about ready to go upstairs and head up to bed, and I'm normally would go the same direction. Normally I try to get to bed crazy early. But I just had that like hunger in me of like I missed that prayer time. And so I felt a little awkward. Like I told Chrissy, like, I'm gonna go for a walk, which feels a little weird. Like it's 10 o'clock at night, like going a little insane, you know, just like I'm gonna go for a walk. Chrissy worries about me when I do silly random stuff with traffic involved, so I wore that little yellow safety vest out of like just like trying to be a decent person to her. So I look like a total nerd walking around in my neighborhood with a reflector vest on at 10 o'clock at night. But I did that because for me, to be honest, like I struggle with like sit in a chair and pray. Like I struggle with it. So for me, it's easier to walk and pray. So I just went outside and walked. And I'm not some super spiritual person. It was around one block. Okay, like, but it was good. And I think like Jesus sees when we're wanting more time with him. And you got to ask yourself that. Like maybe you're doing more than I'm doing, but like are you showing Jesus you want him? Like how could you show him that you want him? I'm going to throw one more practical tip out at you, and then I've got more of a principle, and we'll wrap up. The last practical tip, we're all on our cell phones way too much. I thought at first when I was writing the sermon, like maybe not, you know, our older folks, maybe or not, but honestly, like everybody I'm around, no matter what your age is, everybody is on their phones a lot. And for me, I'm never, ever bored anymore, for better or for worse, because I'm always somehow engaged, probably with the phone if no one else is around or nothing's going on. And so I've found just forcing myself to be quiet and be still allows me to have better times connecting with God. And honestly, I don't like it. But if you want a better connection with God, I would throw out, like, try to spend some time cultivating boredom, if that makes sense. It's a weird thing to say. But what happened with this in the random phone picture and food? I've started this week as an experiment, like, if I'm by myself and I'm eating, I don't let myself do anything else. I just eat. So I don't read a book. I don't look on my phone. I don't check fantasy football. Like, I don't do anything else. So the other day, I was supposed to meet somebody at El Chavo for lunch, and they didn't show. So when my burrito came, I just sat there. It was just me and the burrito the whole lunch, you know? And so weird stuff is coming out of that, though, to be honest. Of like, I wind up thinking about my kids more than I used to. I wind up thinking about stuff like the sermon. The sermon changed during, I switched our Bible passage this week during, while I was eating peanut butter toast, you know, because I was always doing eating peanut butter toast. You got to think about something. I realized, like, that passage I'm using is not the right one. If you have no space in your heart that's open, then where is Jesus supposed to show up at? So the food thing's weird. Maybe that's not for you. But do you have any space for Jesus to talk? Do you even have space for your own head to just unclutter? So then when you do go for a walk or you do open up the Bible, there's actually some space for Jesus to move around. Like, imagine being in a room with just tons of stuff everywhere. You can't even move. You don't want to be there. And a lot of our hearts are super full of just junk. Like, it's not even sin. It's just junk. It's just stuff, like I said, like fancy football or whatever. It's just stuff that's just like, it's just there to fill up space instead of having Jesus there. So I'll admit, I'm bored when I'm eating and not reading anything, but it's worth it to me. So I'm experimenting with it. You can experiment with your own stuff. Final slide, and then we're going to get a chance to put this into practice. So I picked this picture because the earring is really prominent. And the thing about earrings, to be honest, like, I never really noticed earrings before my sister complimented or told me about them, to, you know, notice them. And I still don't really notice earrings ever, except for when I'm on a date. I will think, like, oh, yeah, my sister said, like, notice the earrings. And it doesn't happen every date, but I've noticed a lot of Chrissy's earrings only because of my sister's advice. And because Chrissy's beautiful, you know. So, like those two things. So, here's the thing, though, that while I might not care about earrings in and of themselves, there's this idea of somebody I care about put thought into it for me. That's what should make it special, right? God does tons of things, thousands of things every week would be my guess, because he cares about you, and so he's put something beautiful in your path, or he's done something kind or thoughtful, and the reality is most of us just breeze by and never notice. And so maybe the foods, you know, no cell phone while you're eating or going for walks, maybe all that doesn't work for you. But you have to find some sort of way to notice what Jesus is doing. Because there's a lot of evil junk in the world, and you need a connection with Jesus to be able to live life right. Like, you're not going to make it if you don't have space in your heart for him to be your king. You got to clear space. Okay? Daniel's going to come in with the worship team. They're going to lead us in our response, but it's going to be a little different than normal. We'll have people down front if you want to pray. You can stand and sing at some point, but Daniel's going to kind of lead us in just thinking about what has God done this last week that's like that earring? Something beautiful or something kind or something thoughtful for you. And that could be your response today, is just to appreciate what he's done. And it sets you up to appreciate what he's going to do. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you never wait to love us until we're looking or until we're paying attention. That you are generous to pour out love even when it goes unnoticed. But I pray this week you'd give us open eyes and open hearts to see the love that you are pouring out, to receive it, and then to give it to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.